This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
An unbelievable and historic day today as President Trump showed Zelensky who's boss here. Man, I'll tell you what, if you thought it was going to be a slow Friday, kids, no chance of that. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. So we've got a big show for you today. A lot of other topics, but I think it's possible we may hear some more from President Trump before the show ends. I don't know. There's nothing left on his schedule. They were supposed to have this press conference with Zelensky, and then Trump is flying down to Florida. I will read you the statement that he put on Truth Social earlier today. And this was after the exchange. Then I'm going to play you the exchange in its entirety, and you can hear for yourself and decide what you think. All right. He said the following. We had a very meaningful meeting in the White House today. Much was learned that could never be understood without conversation under such fire and pressure. It's amazing what comes out through emotion. And I've determined that President Zelensky is not ready for peace if America is involved because he feels our involvement gives him a big advantage in negotiations. I don't want advantage. I want peace. He disrespected the United States of America and its cherished Oval Office. He can come back when he is ready for peace. All right. So without further ado, here's the full exchange between Trump, Zelensky, J.D. Vance. Marco Rubio is sitting there but doesn't say anything. Mike Waltz is in the room. A bunch of other national security people are in the room. Ukrainian press, American press. Take a listen.
What kind of diplomacy, J.D., you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you...
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine? Did you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr.
Actually,
President.
Actually, can we do this? Can we start it before this, Matt, where we... I know we played the clip earlier, but before JD start, instead of starting with JD, can we play a little bit before that?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I mean? So Sean has that part divided into two. So Sean, play, I think it's cut 21 right now, and then we'll jump back into cut 22 because it's split. You'll get the full exchange.
All right, cool. Let's do that.
Get this thing done. You want me to be tough? I could be tougher than any human being you've ever seen. I'd be so tough. But you're never going to get a deal that way. So that's the way it goes. All right, one more question. Yeah, please.
Hey, I'm going to respond to this. So look, For 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin, and then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the president of the United States' words mattered more than the president of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So he occupied our parts, big parts of Ukraine, part of East and Crimea. So he occupied it on 2014. So during a lot of years, so I'm not speaking about just Biden, but those time was Obama, then President Obama, then President Trump, then President Biden, now President Trump, and God bless, now President Trump will stop him. But during 2014, nobody stopped him. He just occupied and took. He killed people. You know what the contact line?
2015.
2014.
Well, 2014.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was not here.
Yeah, but
that's exactly
but,
right.
Yes, but during 2014 till 2022, yeah, the same. Well, the situation the same? The people have been dying on the contact line. Nobody stopped him. You know that we had conversations with him, a lot of conversations, my bilateral conversation, and we signed with him. Me, like a new president in 2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with him, Macron and Merkel, we signed ceasefire. Ceasefire. All of them told me that he will never go. We signed him with gas contract. Gas contract. Yes, but after that, he broken the ceasefire. He killed our people and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine? Did you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know that what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military? And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
God bless you. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that.
That's exactly what you're doing.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and it happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war.
You're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having cards. Right now, you don't have your playing cards.
You're playing cards.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed you far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once? This entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you? You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that... If you will speak very loudly about the war, you
He's
can
not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I answer?
Wait a minute. No. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning.
I know.
You're not winning this.
I
You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks in this cabinet.
You haven't been alone. We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted for your
president. We gave you military equipment, and you men are brave, but they had to use our military equipment. If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In 3 days. I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe less.
In 2 weeks. Of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Okay, I tell you. Just say thank you.
I said a lot of times to American people.
Except that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong. We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I understand.
I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long. You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards.
I'm thankful.
You're buried there. Your people are dying.
I can tell you.
You're running low on soldiers.
Listen, you're running low on soldiers.
It would be a damn good thing.
Mr.
And then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look. If you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course, we want to stop the war.
But you're saying you don't want a ceasefire.
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you'll get a ceasefire faster than an agreement.
Ask our people about a ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't with me. That was with a guy named Biden who was not a smart person. That was with Obama, who gave you sheets, and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful, because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
One more question to Mr. Vice President. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a tough deal to make because the attitudes have to change.
What if Russia breaks this fire? What if Russia breaks these talks? What do you do then? I understand that it's a heated conversation right now.
What are you saying?
She's asking, what if Russia breaks the ceasefire?
But what if they? What if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Okay? What if they broke it? I don't know. They broke it with Biden because Biden, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect Obama. They respect me. Let me tell you, Putin went through a hell of a lot with me. He went through a phony witch hunt where they used him and Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. You ever hear of that deal? That was a phony Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scam. Hillary Clinton, Shifty Adam Schiff. It was a Democrat scam. And he had to go through that. And he did go through it. We didn't end up in a war. And he went through it. He was accused of all that stuff. He had nothing to do with it. It came out of Hunter Biden's bathroom. It came out of Hunter Biden's bedroom. It was disgusting. And then they said, oh, the laptop from hell was made by Russia, the 51 agents. The whole thing was a scam. And he had to put up with that. He was being accused of all that stuff. All I can say is this. He might have broken deals with Obama and Bush, and he might have broken them with Biden. He did, maybe. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what happened. But he didn't break them with me. He wants to make a deal. I don't know if he can make a deal. The problem is, I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. And your people are very brave. But you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out. But you don't have the cards. But once we sign that deal, you're in a much better position. But you're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing. All right, I think we've seen enough. What do you think?
This is
going to be great television, I will say that.
All right.
We'll see what we can do about putting it together. Thanks. We'll see. I don't
know. Okay. So that's the whole exchange right there, and you can see where it goes off the rails. And the issue here is that Zelensky is calling him out and saying, how can you keep Putin at bay? See, that's the part there that really irks both Trump and Vance. Because Zelensky says he wants peace, right? But then he just basically says this is diplomacy is pointless. Russia can't be controlled. Russia can't be contained. And essentially then insults the United States of America. So imagine from the context of it's World War II and we're trying to negotiate something and, you know, we're trying to help England out. And you got Churchill and Roosevelt in Potsdam talking about this and with Stalin and they're saying, well, the United States can't get the job done. I mean, that's essentially the equivalent here of this, of what Zelensky's saying. So you're saying right now to the United States, to the president of the United States, you can't get the job done. The United States can't contain Russia. The United States of America can't contain Russia and can't contain Putin. And that's an insult to Trump's face right there in the Oval Office. That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. And I mean, if I'm Zelensky, I'm trying right now to get back to the White House to sign this deal so that this war comes to an end. If I really want the war to come to an end, because nothing changed in that exchange. At no point did either Donald Trump or J.D. Vance say, you know what, we've decided we're not going to provide the security. We've decided that we're not going to get a ceasefire deal. And you've got Zelensky and the Ukrainian media calling out Trump and essentially now emasculating him in front of the world and saying that he can't get the job done. And using his evidence to prove that point, what happened in prior administrations where Russia was able to go into Ukraine? So, what do you think is going to happen in that moment? What do you think is going to happen in that moment? You're sitting there insulting the United States of America, not just Trump, but you're insulting our country and suggesting we can't get it done. If Zelensky didn't like this deal, why did he come to the White House? If Zelensky didn't like the deal that was offered, the deal that that was on the table, why was he there? And then at the last minute, he decides to pull out this, you can't trust Russia, the United States won't be able to contain Putin, Putin can't be trusted, and if you don't stop him, he's going to be, someday this war is going to come to your continent too. You know, or you're lucky you don't have to worry about this because you have an ocean to protect you. But you don't know what this guy is capable of. Essentially playing that card. And if Biden's sitting there, Biden would be turning around and talking to Joseph Stalin because Biden talks to dead world leaders. But Biden would turn around and go, yeah, you're right. You know what? Russia can't be trusted. We can't do a ceasefire deal with them. Here's another $200 billion. And then everybody in the military industrial complex would cheer. And Zelensky would go home happy with more money. And then we don't know where that money goes because we really don't know where that money goes. And Zelensky himself has said so. We don't know where that money goes. But if you're critical of Donald Trump for his handling of that situation, the only thing you could be critical of, in my opinion, is you could say he should have kicked the press out of the room and had that conversation in closed doors. That's it. That's the only thing, in my opinion, you could be critical of, is that instead of letting his temper get to him, he should have said, you know what, I'm going to ask the media to leave the room. We're going to discuss this here because I'm not going to let Zelensky litigate this in front of the press. But that's not Trump's style. Trump's style is to turn around and go, you're accusing me of not being able to stop Putin. You're accusing me of not being able to stop Russia. You're going to sit here and emasculate me like that. Well, screw you. I'm not going to let you do that. And let me show you something. If you think that's the way it's going to be, you'll get nothing and you'll go back and fight and good luck and Godspeed. And there you go. Have fun. Good luck. You need us, pal. You need America. We don't need you. We don't need to be involved in this. Yeah, we need those minerals. We need those raw minerals. And it'd be great to get them. But we don't need you and we don't need to be involved in this. And by the way, I don't think we do need to be involved in this. And I've been saying this for years. And the only reason why I'm okay with this deal is because it brings the war to an end. But in my opinion, if the United States of America just today decided to go like that and just leave it to Europe to figure out. I'm okay with that. Ukraine's not a NATO member. And if this is Europe's problem, and wish Ukraine well and good luck and, you know, have at it. And if Europe's that afraid that, Vladimir Putin's going to steamroll into Ukraine once we stop giving them money and then win and then keep going, well, then Europe should do something about it. It's not our problem. It's not our continent. It's not our place. And we're good. I'd be fine with that. I've been saying that for years. I'd be fine with that. Unlike many Republicans, I've been saying that. You know, many other people were like, well, we have to stand with our ally Ukraine. And I keep saying, well, for how long? For how long? For how long? And they keep saying, as long as it takes, as long as it takes, as long as it takes. Well, that's not good enough. There's no plan to win. There's no possibility of winning. And that's the other point, too, that the vice president made to him. You can't win. You certainly can't win without us. But even with us, you can't win. You can't win this war. You don't have enough people. You don't have enough conscripts. You can't win. Like, accept that reality. This war's over. Ukraine's already lost. The best that could happen right now is a ceasefire. And that means that whatever land Russia has gotten up to this point, yeah, at this point, Russia keeps that land. And that's not good enough for Ukraine. But you know what? It's not our place to push Russia back, because that's World War III. That's World War III. So if that's what you want, if you want World War III, if you want the United States fighting the Soviet Union once and for all, fighting Russia once and for all to push them back, okay, then that's what you're going to get. So if you're one of those people today, loudmouths on Twitter and all these other people criticizing Trump, the only other way this plays out is if the United States of America gets boots on the ground, joins in the fight against Ukraine, and physically pushes Russia back to what Zelensky wants, which is pre-Crimea, so that they get Crimea back. And that's World War III. And how's that going to work out for everybody in the United States of America, huh? How's that going to work out? So to sit there and to suggest that we can't contain Putin, we don't have the ability, and Russia can't, I agree, Russia can't be trusted. I agree, but the difference is Donald Trump. That's the difference. That's why he didn't do anything for 4 years when Trump was president. No, Russia can't be trusted. Vladimir Putin cannot be trusted. Vladimir Putin is a dictator and a guy who kills his opposition. But this is not our freaking problem. And I don't want to make it our problem, because I don't want my son to have to go fight in Ukraine against Russia. And I don't want nuclear missiles flying, and I don't want World War III, and I don't want the devastation of the world. And, you know, it was Joe Biden who said many times, we send tanks, that's World War III. We send planes, that's World War III. Excuse me, we want to help Ukraine, but we don't want World War III, right? Did you not hear Joe Biden say that? How many times? And then he kept upping the game in terms of the weapons we've kept providing them. So the way that I see this, it plays out in one or two ways. Either Zelensky takes this deal. It's not a great deal it's not everything he wants, because obviously Russia has encroached on his land and he doesn't like that. Okay, fine. But then it stops. It's a ceasefire. It's not necessarily the end, but it's a ceasefire. The United States is there to ensure that it's a ceasefire. We're giving them money. We're getting these raw minerals, these rare minerals, these raw earth minerals, whatever, however you want to describe it. And then there's a ceasefire and the war ends. How long that lasts, I don't know. But at the same time, we're getting Europe involved. We get NATO involved. And then hopefully this is it. I don't want World War III here. And for anybody who's sitting there in the corporate media or on the left or even in the Republican Party today, who's turning around and saying that this is a win for Vladimir Putin, it's only a win for Vladimir Putin if Zelensky goes back empty handed, because he doesn't agree to this deal that the president has laid out for him. Otherwise, it's a ceasefire. It's a ceasefire. But for those of you that want Putin to lose, understand the only way Putin technically loses is if there are boots on the ground, American boots on the ground, and probably European boots on the ground, to help Ukraine physically fight Russia to push them back to the pre-Crimea boundaries, which is World War III. Do you want to fight World War III with Russia? Yes or no? That's it. That's the only question I have for Jimmy Matthews and every other person who's being critical today. Do you want to fight World War III with a nuclear power that is aligned with Russia and aligned with Iran, and what could escalate into an absolute conflict in Eurasia and an absolute conflict involving nuclear missiles? Is that what you want? I don't want that. I have zero interest in that. And I don't think that's in anybody's best interest. Absolutely not. Call me crazy on this one. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. If you want to weigh in today, we'll take your calls. But we have Dr. Victoria Coates joining us next. It's going to be a great interview, so I don't want to miss a second of that. Big story of the hour, obviously brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. I don't have to tell you what the big story is because we know what it is. But go to VeneriaDental.com for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
What a day to have this incredible guest on the show, am I right? What a day for us. She's in high demand because she's the expert in these matters. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor to President Trump. She is the Vice President of the Davis Institute for Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. And she is the author of the book, Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. She's Philadelphia's own Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, my friend. Great to see you.
Never a dull day on the goat rodeo, Rich.
I was all prepared to ask you about the Philly spring training, the lineup, and the Eagles going to the White House, but it seems like there's other news today, so maybe we'll have to put that on the back burner. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, always time to talk about that because it's, you know, very important and fun to see the team start to come together. Not happy to see Bryce get plunked again. Hopefully he's doing okay, but Chris Wheeler looked fantastic. Zach looked fantastic yesterday. And so we're excited to get down there in a couple weeks.
Good. Excellent. Well, that's great. All right. That concludes the sports update. Now let's get into Ukraine. Now let's get
also,
into Ukraine.
Also quite sporty. Yes.
You watched the exchange. I'm sure you watched the visit with Zelensky in the Oval Office. I've been talking about it for 90 minutes, but I'd love to get your perspective on what we all watched and what happened and get your theory.
Yeah, I was not surprised. I was surprised that President Zelensky decided to do this and provoke this kind of exchange. I was not surprised by President Trump's response. He takes the expenditure of American taxpayer dollars very seriously. And for the same reasons that he cut the Palestinians off in 2017, after President Abbas, you know, came and made nice at a White House visit, then went and spewed his usual anti-American, anti-Israel rhetoric and demanded more U.S. funding for UNRWA and other Palestinian causes. He's like, no, you know, that's not what happens. If you come to the United States soil and you're asking for more from the United States, you say thank you. And if we have discussions, we do them behind closed doors. And that's not what Zelensky tried to or chose to do. And he just got an earful of it from both the president and the vice president, and he deserved it.
Yeah. So my theory is here, as I heard this exchange, because it starts off cordial. It's cordial for most of it. And Trump's going on about what an honor it is to have Zelensky here. They have this deal in place. Can you give us a little idea, Dr. Victoria Coates, of what the deal is? We've heard about mineral rights. We've heard about a ceasefire. And we've heard about America providing security to Ukraine. What did the deal that they were supposed to sign today and then have a big lunch and then a press conference? What were really the details of it?
Yeah, this was a good deal for both Ukraine and the United States. And it's something the Ukrainians have been asking for since 2018. So basically, assistance from the U.S. in developing their natural resources. They have a disproportionate percentage of the world's particularly rare earths and rare minerals that are necessary to high-tech manufacturing. Think batteries, think high-powered chips, they all require these materials. And we have some of them here in the United States, but not as much as Ukraine does. And Greenland, by the way, which I think you could see a theme emerging here. And so the idea that had been on the table was, yes, the United States does, through private and public sector elements, get involved in this development. And then two things would happen. The United States would be the buyer of first refusal. We would have the right to buy as much of this stuff as we wanted, so we would have a ready supply. But the proceeds from all sales would go into a mutually managed fund between Ukraine and the United States, which would be divided up some way. Aramco in Saudi Arabia, historically, before it became a national company, was 51%. Saudi Arabia, 49% the United States. You can tinker with those numbers. But that would be a way for both the Ukrainian people to gain prosperity from this, but also for the American people to be paid back. And the numbers people are tossing around, they're all notional. Nobody really knows what this would net. But for the first time, Donald Trump had an arrangement by which we would get something other than nothing. In return for what we've put into Ukraine. So it was a good deal for everybody. I'm surprised that Zelensky, blew it up so blithely, because, again, this would have been great for his people as well. And the Ukrainians need to know that what was blown today was their prosperity and just finally also their security. Because if you have U.S. interests on the ground in Ukraine, you change Putin's calculus. It's not just going in against Ukraine. He would be blowing up American interests and American assets. And that's a different story. And so, everyone's gassing on and on about security guarantees. This was a security guarantee, which is, in my mind, much more real than anything you could write on a piece of paper.
So the only reason he would blow this up then, in my opinion, is if he just doesn't want this to come to an end, because he's just wants the money to keep flowing. I mean, I don't know another rational explanation for this then. And he came to Washington knowing what this deal was. And then he starts basically going on and suggesting, and I think insulting the president by suggesting that the United States can't contain Putin, can't keep its word, and can't is not capable of being able to defend Ukraine. I mean, it was very insulting. But if you feel that way, why'd you make the trip other than to try to grandstand in front of the media and then play into the hands of Democrats who are now screaming that Trump just gave a big gift to Vladimir Putin here? I don't think Trump gave a gift to Vladimir Putin. I think Zelensky just gave a gift to Vladimir Putin. So the only thing I could think of is this guy obviously doesn't want this war to come to an end. It's the only conclusion I can reach.
Well, he doesn't. He does want the money to keep going. He doesn't want to have elections, which polls do suggest he would lose. So I think for those reasons, he's not eager to resolve it. But I also think he just miscalculated. I think he thought this would make him look tough. I think he miscalculated his popular support among the American people, which he reportedly is told over and over again that regardless of what Trump says, he's always going to be nice to him because the American people so overwhelmingly support Ukraine. Well, the problem with that theory of events is that the American people voted for Donald Trump in November, and not a single person, in my estimation, who voted for Trump voted to expand the war in Ukraine or to increase U.S. involvement in it. He was very frank about wanting to end the war, wanting to get to a conclusion, never said he wanted to cut Ukraine off. He never said he wanted to hand Ukraine to Putin, but he did say he wanted to get it over with, and that's what the American people want. And so I think Zelensky thought he could look like a big, tough guy, and Trump would back down for political reasons, and he might get some additional concessions, maybe sweeten the pot a little bit. But what he got was some pretty tough love out of the president and vice president, and escorted out of the White House. So that is the reality he will face. We'll have his live interview apparently still on Fox at 6. See what he has to say then. And he's getting a lot of Twitter love out of the European leadership that has not been upping their defense expenditures over the first 3 years of this war or doing anything materially to help him. But he's getting rhetoric out of them.
There are two things, Dr. Victoria Coates. Number one, I mean, I agree you can't trust Putin, but the point of this whole deal is that, to your, what you said, he would be messing with American interests, which is a totally different story. And for the 4 years that Donald Trump was president, he didn't do anything to Ukraine. He did invade. He did deal with, you know, with Crimea when Obama's there. He invades Ukraine when Biden's there. Zelensky brings this up today to say he can't be trusted. So, you know, that's an insult. But then number two is, doesn't he want essentially now the pre-Crimea borders, and that he doesn't want anything less than that in his mind, which obviously he would not get in this deal. But he really wants Russia to be pushed back. And the only way that happens is, as I see it, is if there are American boots on the ground and probably European boots on the ground. That's World War III with a nuclear power. That's a non-starter. But isn't that what Zelensky's been saying? He wants the pre-Crimea borders.
Well, he's had some really mixed rhetoric on this. On the one hand, there's been the maximalist, not one inch of sovereign Ukraine territory, back to the 1992 borders, this and that, and which the Biden team echoed over and over and over again, usually with a call for NATO membership for Ukraine. But Zelensky privately reportedly has said that he understands that they're going to have to be territorial swaps. That's one reason they went on their incursion into Western Russia, to try to get some territory that he could then swap for some of his, which makes sense. There's kind of the public and private Zelensky. And maybe that's what got a little confused today. Any discussion like that should have happened in private. You don't do that in public, not to your prime partner in all of this, who is the one country on earth that Putin might listen to. And no, nobody trusts Putin. Nobody likes Putin. He just laid waste to yet another weekend for me. I was supposed to go up to Bucks County tonight with my husband, and guess what I'm doing? I'm not. I'm glued to the studio. So, you know, I don't have any fondness for him. But at the same time, the fact of the matter is, he is the decision maker in Russia. And so if you need a decision out of Russia, and we do, to end this war, you have to deal with it. And you do it with your eyes open, and you trust but verify, to quote President Reagan. But that's the fact of the matter. That is what is going to be sitting on the other side of the table.
And it seemed that when somebody suggested, I think it was the question that was asked of the president right before J.D. Vance jumped in, you know, why are you not, I think, tougher against Putin, or do you have allegiances to Putin or something? And Trump said, because I'm trying to make a deal here. My only allegiance is to the United States, but I'm trying to make a deal. And you can't come here and have a deal if you just start, you know, spitting all over the guy. That's not how you're going to get a deal from him. So that's the way it just has to be. And then that then proceeded to lead into J.D. Vance jumping in and saying, and let me just make another point on that. You know, we've had the United States of America for 4 years here just giving your country money and not standing up to Putin. But you had a president who was giving all this tough rhetoric against Vladimir Putin, and he still invaded your country. You know, Joe Biden was out there saying all these things about Putin, but it's still invaded. So the rhetoric is not the issue here that we're talking about.
No. And also, it costs nothing. That's why the Europeans are showering Zelensky with rhetoric tonight, because it doesn't cost them anything. And so for President Trump, you know, saying the occasional nice thing about Russia, which might make Putin think the playing field is a little bit more even, it might tempt him to the table. And the hand wringing that took place. I'm sure we're about to hear a lot about the United Nations General Assembly resolution at the beginning of the week that the administration voted against, and then proposed different, what people are calling, softer language. Well, can you think of anything off the top of your head, Rich, which is more useless than an UNGAR? I mean, they have never accomplished anything in the history of the United Nations. So softening language on one of those resolutions, again, zero cost to anyone. Mm-hmm. It's a pointless exercise, but maybe it gets a little bit of sympathy from the Russian delegation. They don't feel like everyone's arrayed, you know, against them, and maybe they'll be a little bit more likely to make a deal. I might be willing to listen to the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal on this, and give him some leeway to, you know, to engage in diplomacy before I pull a stunt like Zelensky pulled today.
So I heard Lindsey Graham on Fox News earlier today after this happened, suggesting that Zelensky needs to step down. I mean, Lindsey Graham is one of those Republicans, as you know, who's always been out there, you know, ringing the pro-Ukraine bell. We stand with Ukraine. We stand with Ukraine. Lindsey's never met a war he doesn't love. He's saying that Zelensky should step down after what happened at the White House. Many people are suggesting now that that's what needs to happen. There needs to be a leadership change here because it's obvious that this guy has dug his heels in and he doesn't want peace. But what's the likelihood of that happening?
Yeah, we had an interesting shift amongst a number of folks you would call pretty much dead in the neocon group. You had Lindsey Graham, you had Mark Thiessen, you know, come out and say this was a terrible error on the part of President Zelensky. Karl Rove, God love him, was still in this was a terrible mistake for Donald Trump camp. But Some are not going to learn new tricks at this point. I think you know what a political animal Lindsey Graham is. You know, if he's, I'm sure, had already heard from a number of his constituents in South Carolina that if he came out against Trump on this, he was going to get primaried. And mm-hmm. so that's why you're hearing what you're hearing out of Lindsey, because his natural inclination, obviously, has been rah-rah Zelensky and more aid for Ukraine and get them into NATO and so on and so forth. But I think that is the political reality right now. To go back to my point about the election, that's what the American people voted for. And that's what all of the voters in the swing states voted for. And so anyone who's in American politics needs to realize that if they take a principled stand against President Trump and for President Zelensky, they are going to lose. Now, maybe they choose to do that. Maybe they go down the Liz Cheney path. But that is not what the American people want. And, right. Going into this budget deal, all the other things we have to get after, the border, it is time to wrap this up.
Yeah, no question about it. Dr. Victoria Coates is with me. Her book, Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. Also the vice president of the Davis Institute for Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. It's great to have her with us and Philadelphia's own. The president also said today that had he been president, October 7th would have never happened either. That's being kind of overshadowed by all of this, obviously. But what is the latest with Israel, Hamas, Gaza? I know there was that video that was released of what this Gaza Strip could look like potentially.
Yes, the AI video of Trump's vision of Gaza, which involved Elon Musk eating hummus and Trump having cocktails with Netanyahu on the beach. It was glorious. Golden statues of President Trump on the streets of Gaza. But the key to it was everything was beautiful. Everybody was happy. Everybody was getting along. Everybody was prosperous. This was a really, campy, kitschy. Yes, that's what AI videos are. It's like the Stayin' Alive video they put out with Elon during the campaign, but it sends a message that President Trump sees what Gaza can be or could be absent Hamas and the deep radicalization of the Palestinian people. So I think, what he said about October 7th is, to my experience, correct. And I have talked to my former Israeli counterparts, many of whom are still in the Israeli government, about it. And they have said to a man and to a woman, if we had all been in our seats from the first Trump term, this would not have happened, because we had two kind of catchphrases, no daylight, that we were going to stay firmly lashed up, and certainly no displays like what happened in the Oval Office today, but then also no surprises. So we would share information, good and bad. If something was going to happen that they weren't going to like, I made sure to tell them as quickly as possible so they could prepare. If they saw something we weren't going to like, same thing. And that solved a lot of problems. And we had just fantastic communication. And a lot of what I understand happened on October 7th was because of communications breakdown and the fact that the United States had stopped doing a lot of collection on Iranian proxies. So we didn't have the best information to share with them. And that wouldn't have happened, quite frankly. So he's correct on that.
And We're seeing, I was talking to Senator Dave McCormick yesterday about this, and Senator McCormick was saying that he and John Fetterman, they had a chat recently, and, one of the topics they agree on is battling anti-Semitism. And I was happy to hear that because, Fetterman, for all the things I disagree with him on, has been a stalwart defender of Israel and saying that, this anti-Semitism in America has to stop. The other part of this, too, is I know people don't want America to get dragged into another fight, just like how they don't want America to get dragged into Ukraine. They don't want America to get dragged into a war in Israel. And as you pointed out before, Israel doesn't want that either.
No, and that's one of the hallmarks of the relationship is Israel has always said we do not want U.S. troops on the ground. Mm-hmm. They were deeply concerned when the Biden people sent over the folks to do the pier to nowhere, and one American serviceman lost his life in an accident on that pier. But they're too big of a target and too tempting for a terrorist group to go after, and then you have a terrible situation, public relations situation for Israel, a tragedy for the United States. I mean, just literally no good can come of it. And yeah. One thing we're working on at Heritage, which is covered to some extent in the fourth chapter of the Battle for the Jewish State, but this is a much bigger study of it, is how do we shift the ground in the U.S.-Israel relationship so Israel isn't a recipient of aid, even if it's military aid or security assistance, but becomes an equal partner to the United States. And quite frankly, their economy in non-wartime is doing perfectly well to support their security needs. And the way the aid is then used to pressure Israel, particularly during Democrat administrations, as the outgoing Ambassador Herzog, who is a very liberal in terms of a leftist Israeli in terms of his personal politics. I mean, he's been really frank in recent days about how bad it was during the Biden administration when they were embargoing arms Israel needed in the middle of a shooting war and was paying for. But they were, no, we're going to, you need restraint. They can't live that way. And we shouldn't mm-hmm. want them to. And so, and I also know, at a time when we're trying to tighten our belts and get our fiscal house in order, giving billions of dollars to a prosperous country, it rubs a lot of Americans the wrong way, regardless of what the country is. And we've gotten a lot out of that investment. I think we can get a lot more out of a partnership. So on March 12th, we'll be unveiling a U.S.-Israel strategy for the next 25 years to get to that happy state. It's a process like anything else. You've got to lay out steps, involve the Congress, get buy-in from the Israelis. We'll be traveling there later this year to discuss it with them. They're very aware of the project. But I think that's going to seem like a pretty good deal to a lot of Americans mm-hmm. who want to be friends with Israel, but don't want to just keep handing out aid willy-nilly around the world, and certainly don't want to get dragged into another war.
Before I let you go, Dr. Coates, I did want to get your reaction to one clip here from the exchange today with the president and Zelensky in the Oval Office. And it's a little bit of a long cut. I'm not going to play the whole thing here, but I just want to it's J.D. Vance to Zelensky. And we're going to play part of this cut number one here. And J.D. Vance's point here about, do you think it's respectful to come to the Oval Office here and disrespect the president? Cut number one.
Talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are not strong...
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring an end to this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions.
Let me jump out of this. Thank you. So, Dr. Coates, I mean, that was the vice president. He was on fire there.
Yes, he was. And you know what that made me think about, Rich, was how wildly irresponsible it was for the Biden administration enablers to take President Biden to Kiev when he made that trip. that given what we now know about what his capacities were to send somebody in his condition on that kind of lengthy journey into a war zone, it gives me chills to think how close we came to some horrible thing happening to the country. But you know, you don't have to go to Kiev to have a sense of what's going on in Ukraine. And the Vice President of the United States, last time I looked, gets pretty good information, maybe better information than the President of Ukraine. And you know, he is allowed to make policy without being schooled by Zelensky on what is or is not happening on the ground in Ukraine. And I think it was also notable today that the President made a point of again complimenting the Ukrainian people on their bravery in this fight, and you know, keeping that, you know, that firmly on the table, that everybody respects their courage. But we're now in a situation where we can go on like this, but it will fight down to the last Ukrainian. And that's what the Vice President was talking about. You were literally running out of people, and you know, that you have to recognize that reality. And I think the President and Vice President didn't particularly want to litigate that in front of the press, but I think Zelensky thought he had a very pro-Ukraine, anti-Trump press, which is probably true for many of them. And he also is told repeatedly how very popular he is in the United States, and that Trump may talk tough, but he will ultimately back down because politically it's a non-starter to criticize Zelensky. Well, the lie was put to that today. And I think the overwhelming response is one of appreciation for the president's strength and real disgust at, you know, Zelensky's entitlement.
Dr. Victoria Coates, get her book, Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. Thanks, my friend. Have a great weekend. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Rich. You too.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Let me tell you about Natural Lawn of America. Beautiful day outside right now. Gorgeous, right? Well, it's just a reminder. Spring is here. It's on its way. I mean, it's March, baby. March 1st, tomorrow, you got to reach out to Natural Lawn of America. Start thinking about your lawn, getting that lush, thick green lawn that you are going to love. And with Natural Lawn of America, it is safer, more organic, safer for your pets, safer for your kids, and beautiful and customized to your lawn's specific needs. That's the difference with my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. It's why I've been using them for years. Every lawn's unique in what it needs, and Natural Lawn will assess your lawn and then come up with a customized plan specific to your lawn. Plus, you call them now, they're going to seed your lawn for free every year. All you got to do is call 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED, and Natural Lawn of America will seed your lawn for free every year, and that overseeding is crucial to the health of your lawn. So, if you want a greener grass with fewer weeds, and you want it guaranteed, and you want a beautiful lawn that's going to be the envy of the neighborhood, but is also safer for your kids and safer for your pets, then reach out to Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.